Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and that can be found on page 955 of the Pew Bibles. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Jane. Friends, we are going to look partly at that passage, but we're going to look at a whole bunch of different parts of God's Word as both Ange and I remind ourselves of the vision that we have here at Nawi. And so before we do, it's important that we always pray as we come before God's Word in any way, shape, or form. So I'm going to pray. Our good and our gracious God, we thank you for your Word. And we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for Nawi Baptist Church. And today, as we remind ourselves, as we reinvigorate ourselves, we trust that you are the one who does that within us. May both mine and Ange's words be yours. Inspire us by your word and your spirit and one another to do the things that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you a story about a young woman named Emma. Now, Emma lives just a stone's throw away from Nawi here. Now, Emma, in her early years of life, knew nothing about Jesus. She probably walked past this church at Nawi and no connection or care at all. Her parents didn't have any faith, and she grew up not knowing. Every year, Nawi sends scripture teachers to schools, and we send some scripture teachers to Pecos Public School. Emma happens to go to Pecos Public School, and in the latter years of primary school, she finds herself in one of these classes. She hears about the gospel, she experiences the love that this scripture teacher shared with her, and then took up the invitation to come to Nawi. She came to a holiday club, then came to kids club, then came to youth group and kick, and found herself experiencing the love of God through the Spirit, through the word that's preached, through the love of the people, and she repented and gave her life to Jesus. She then continues to follow him. She's in youth group. She leads youth group. She's in home group. She was one of the members that went on the short-term team to Indo this year. Emma is a life transformed through Jesus to the glory of God, through the work and the ministry that happens here at Nawi Baptist Church. And in many ways, that is just a super ordinary story. And how beautiful is it? An ordinary story of a local girl who comes to faith through what God has done through these people, us at Nawi. Because at Nawi, we have a vision to see lives transformed through Jesus to the glory of God. That's what we're about. We know we're a people who are created by God, who are loved by him, who he has sent Jesus to come to this earth, to die on the cross, to be risen again so that we can be in relationship with him. And that is an incredible truth that we get to own for ourselves and share with the world. And that's what we're about at Nawi. And so Ange and I this morning are reminding and encouraging us in the vision that we have here. And we're going to speak through it through four purposes, if you like. To connect, grow, serve, and go. And I'm going to speak on connect and grow, and then Ange will come and speak on serve and go. So when we think of what we're about here, to connect. We're connecting with God and we connect with each other because we're about relationship. We're about relationship that we get to experience with the Almighty God and relationship with each other. And so when we talk about connect, we're talking about loving and connecting with God because we long to worship him. He's worthy of our worship. We long to experience relationship with him. Not just in our mind, but in our heart, in our being with one another, to know him, Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, three persons, and to love him. As Jesus said, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And friends, we long to connect with God, to love him. And so that is why we worship. That is why we sing. It's a commandment of the Bible to sing, but also it's beautiful as we express our worship to him, or it causes us to worship him. We open his word. We read it. We seek to understand it. We set it as our rule of life, as our authority, and we pray, word, prayer, then living it out in the world. And in all these places, we get to experience him, and in so many more. And as we do, we long for our desire for God to grow and grow. As David in the Psalms wrote in Psalm 63, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." And so we want to help each other. I hope you help me, and I hope I help you to be out of people that long for God, to experience who he is. And we do it because he is worthy. We don't come here because of any other reason other than God is worthy. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Nothing is above him. All is before him. He is the name above all names. But also to connect with him is worth it. It is 100% worth it. The God of the universe would say, "I want to connect with you, people, the ones he made. Invite us into relationship with him." Something that the Bible calls fellowship, which we'll look at in 1 John coming from next week. But as we think about our love and with God, we also remind ourselves that God loves us far more than we can ever love him. God loves us more than we love him. I remember when I was just started here at Nawi before the renovations, and I was in my office and I was chatting with Pastor David. And I was expressing in part my love for Nawi and what was happening, but also some frustrations and things that were going on. I didn't know how it was all working. And David, in his really gentle, wise way, said, "Matt, isn't it good that God's love for us is far more than your love for God?" And that was just so strangely comforting in that moment. This loving rebuke to know that the God of the universe loves me far more than I can ever love him. And I felt I was loving him a lot in that moment. And if you feel like you love God a little, or you feel you love God a lot, God's love for you is greater. And so we want to connect with him. The second part of our connect is to connect with each other, to connect with people. The one sitting beside you, the one across the room, the one who hasn't come yet, the one who will come, the ones who have left and we long to call back. Because God, he sent his son Jesus, he's given us his spirit to make us a church. And he's called us to commit to one another, to love one another. Jesus, in his final moments before he went to the cross with his disciples, he said, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." Now, that love can be expressed in so many different ways. One of the ways was through that Bible reading that Jane read. A love which is Christ-centered, others-focused, compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven us. And above all, the virtues, put on love. Friends, when we live that out, and at part you've experienced it, we've always experienced the dark side also when we fail one another. But what a beautiful picture it is to connect with one another and to love one another. And that's where the flourishing of relationship happens. It's not about keeping up appearances. It's about deep, genuine relationship with people. We long to connect with one another, to cross the barriers. So it takes us getting involved. In this moment, it's welcoming people that come into the doors that we might not usually connect with, that we might not naturally, maybe we don't want to. But as this is our home, we welcome people into our home. We connect with them. We connect with the people who sit next to us and connect with the people across the other side of the room. Also, we're a relatively large church. Also, if we weren't large, it wouldn't matter. We still want to meet in small groups. And so we have home groups. Essential place to grow in community with one another. Have a place of belonging where people know you. and where you know someone else. And we walk in community together as we study God's word and do life side by side. And then just caring for each other in the everyday. We are people who long to love and connect with one another. And friends, this connection with God and with people is only made possible through Jesus. They're nice words and we long for them, but they're only possible through Christ. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He rose again in victory. The power is in the gospel. The power isn't in our strategies. The power isn't in our programs. The power isn't in our ability to make nice videos or play good music. The power is only in the gospel. And so we remember that God, this is from 2 Corinthians 5, all this is from God. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God reconciled the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against him. God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that we might be called the righteousness of God. Jesus bore our sins on the tree so that we can connect with him and so we have the possibility of meaningful, loving relationship with one another. But it doesn't stop at connection. God longs for us to grow. He longs for us to grow in relationship with him, but also to grow in Christ-like maturity, to become like Christ. He doesn't just want to leave us where we're at. Our vision is to see lives transformed through Jesus to the glory of God, and part of that means that we grow. Hopefully you're different in a year's time than you are now because of what the Spirit does in us. One of the verses which captures God's heart for us is this in Romans 8. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, to be made like Jesus, to be people who live and act as Jesus would live and act if he were in your shoes, to become like him. And what a beautiful picture that is, that God sees you and loves you as you are, but wants to make you into a masterpiece with his hands. That happens in community. Where we take off the old self and we put on the new self to live holy lives, ambassadors for God, shaped into the likeness of Jesus. And sometimes that transformation is fast, moments of fast growth. Sometimes it's incredibly slow and painful and frustrating, but it's always guaranteed. For those who abide in Jesus, growth will happen. Maybe not the way we want, maybe not the way that we would like, but growth happens because the Spirit is at work in us for those that abide. I could give so many examples, but you can just look around at the people next to you. Even look at the way that God has been at work in your life. Maybe you've been sitting here and serving Jesus for 50 years, maybe for one. Maybe you can look back and see this person has become more loving. Oh, I can see the way I've become more peaceful. I can see the way that someone else has become more other-centered. That's growth. Made into likeness of Jesus. Growing in his word. And we also remember that God brings the growth. As I was saying before, we have strategies and plans and we have so many things we want to see happen. But God is the one who brings the growth. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is talking about Apollos and him and all the work that he does and Apollos do. They said, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters who has one purpose, each will be rewarded according to their labor. It's God who brings the growth. So friends, we labor, we toil, we abide in God. But it's God is the one who brings the growth here at Nawe. And then as he does, you and I experience the joy and we experience the peace that comes through relationship with Jesus, through growing in him. In Romans 15, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. Friends, when we connect with God, when we grow in him, this strange joy just bubbles up. It's not always noticeable, it's not always immediate, but joy and peace come. And we get to then share that joy and peace with the people around us, with the local community, and then into the world. because we long to see lives transformed through Jesus to the glory of God. So we connect and we grow. And after we've connected and we grow, and that continues to happen, we then serve and go. So Andrew's going to come up in a minute and continue to share on that. And part of that is seeing people who don't know Jesus come to know him. And so we've done a thing through Alpha, and we're going to continue to do that this year. And so here's a video to inspire us towards that this year.
This is the greatest season of evangelism in our generation. And so I invite you to be a part, to join now on Mission 25.
In 2023, we encouraged all of our Queensland Baptist churches to lead Alpha courses in their churches, in their communities together. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in 2023, we saw more new believers get baptized in our Queensland Baptist movement than ever before in our 170-year history. That's why I'm so excited about joining together, not just with churches in Queensland, but Baptist churches right around Australia as we lead Alpha courses together.
God-sized dreams move us to depend on Him and partner with others. Let's join together to share the good news of Jesus across Australia in 2025.
Mission 25 is a collective of churches who are joining together to share Jesus across Australia through prayer, invitation, and through running Alpha in Term 2 2025. We believe and pray that by coming together, united in mission, we will fan into flame the glowing ember of evangelism across our country and see many more Aussies transformed by the good news of Jesus.
We've been so excited to see people encountering Jesus and choosing to follow him across our local churches through Alpha courses.
Alpha is simply one of the best tools we have for communicating the truth of who Jesus is to people looking for hope.
We're excited to see Alpha run in homes, in small groups, in big groups, in churches, in schools, in prisons, in workplaces.
I know God's going to move. I know where we're going to see a move of God's Spirit across this nation. We're going to see many people put their faith in Jesus and have their lives transformed forever. Hey, make sure you're part of it.
Would you join us for Mission 25?
Join us for Mission 25.
Would you join us for Mission 25?
Would you join us in Mission 25?
Would you join us in Mission 25?
2025, let's lead Alpha together, Term 2, and see many people come to know Jesus.
Friends, we do look forward to running an Alpha course next term, as we did last year, and where we saw many people come to Christ and be transformed by Jesus. And let me continue. Once you connect and grow, God calls us to serve. And as Christians, we've been saved. But more than that, God has gifted us to serve him. And we remember today that life is not about you. Life is not about me. Life is about God and his glory. And we seek to magnify God in all that we say and all that we do. Paul writes in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters. I love that. I urge you. Not like, oh, I may have a suggestion for you. No, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, the cross, the sacrificial death of Jesus, that he's written about in Romans 1 to 11, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Friends, that speaks about absolute commitment. It speaks about absolute surrender. God doesn't want anything less than that in for you and your life. Absolute surrender to him. And in terms of serving, if we're going to do that, I want to mention three areas in which we need to let go of some things. And the first thing is to release your gifts and talents. 1 Peter 4, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Notice, you have received a gift. The assumption is you have gifts from God that you are meant to serve others with. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, what's the ultimate purpose? God may be praised through Jesus Christ. It's the magnification of God. It's the magnification of Jesus, which is the ultimate goal. Use those gifts. Don't hold them. Don't save them for another day. This morning, our singers have been serving us. Our welcoming team have been welcoming. Our kids' church leaders have been serving us. And this is what we do. So I say, where and who will you serve in 2025? Now, most of you have already decided that because we've started the year and people have volunteered and they're serving. But maybe you haven't. Say, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Children's or youth? Pastoral care? Home group leadership or hosting? Visitation of new people? Cooking meals for the sick people? Evangelism? Prayer? Teaching school scripture? Helping out in playtime? Being part of our worship team. Last year when I mentioned this, we added about 5 new people to our team. So if you can sing, if you can play instruments, I say thank you to Steve Welsh. Steve, after almost three decades at NAWE of leading worship, is stepping down. He is using plenty of other gifts in multiple other areas, but he's leaving a space for others now to step up, right, Steve? To play your part in leading, in singing, in serving the church. It could be welcoming, it could be cleaning, it could be painting or gardening. People serve in a variety of ways. Secondly, release your time. Time is a precious commodity. We're trying to balance really busy lives, aren't we? Work, kids, grandkids, and a few other things. Ministry. To see each other. We want to build our relationships at home and make sure husbands are seeing wives and parents are seeing children, all those things as well. Yes, it's precious. But I wonder whether you can maybe change some priorities and schedule to invest in things of eternal significance. Ministry is costly, but it has eternal ramifications. It takes hours each week to be a youth leader. It takes time to drive to a hospital and visit a sick person. It takes time to cook meals for new mums. It takes time to join the Alpha team, set aside Tuesday nights and preparation time in order to serve and take the gospel to others. It takes time to lead. It takes time to rehearse at home, come in early on a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon and serve as part of the worship team. Romans 12 verse 11 was one of my favorite verses. I still had it in my first ever Bible. I had it highlighted. It's this one. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Have you lost some fervor? People say, man, this guy's full of Jesus. Or this woman, man, there's something about her. Have you lost your fervor? Is he your everything? I love that. Never be lacking in zeal. Sure, take care of yourself. Make sure you eat well and rest well and sleep well and exercise well and all those things, yes. But keep your spiritual fervor. Thirdly, release your finances. Be generous in supporting God's work. In the local church, in the support of missionaries, in supporting the poor and the persecuted. Paul writes, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Commitment and to Christ, and surrender to Christ hits our pockets. It's meant to hit our pockets, to release funds for the work of the gospel. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man or woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And together as a church, over 70 years, we have worked hard and people have given and contributed financially to see these facilities in place, to see missionaries supported, to see the work go out into the local schools and the universities. We're part of that. And I want to say thank you that God has provided all that we needed last year. And this year, what does it look like? $24,457 a week is our target and offering. So I thought, I wonder how much that is in a year. It becomes scary when your times it by 52, right? $1.2 million. Last year, it was about $1.15 or something like that, that you gave. And last year, you also gave like over $100,000 to the property and almost $100,000 to our main mission appeal. And many of you support individual missionaries yourselves, and you sponsored children, and you gave to Open Doors to work with the persecuted about $17,000 to $18,000 last year. And I want to say thank you. That is a sign of the Spirit of God at work in us, that we don't keep it all for ourselves. We seek to do the work of the gospel. And by the way, we need, as well as that offering, an extra $33,000 set directly to property development just to meet budget this year. We will have, I think the target is $90,000 for a May appeal, and we will continue to support these other ministries. Because when we serve Christ, we release our gifts, we release our time, and we release our resources for the glory of Jesus. I asked the treasurer, because after January, I said, how do we go with our offering at the end of January? We're doing okay, $20,000 behind budget. That's quite normal. He said in the first week we were 13,000 behind. Okay, so we raised 11 instead of 24. I can work that out. I was a maths teacher. So just reminding you, as we start a new year and everyone's back from holidays, that's where we are as we move forward to do God's work. And what a joy it is to go to your bank account to transfer money over to God's work. You find that joyful? I do it. I don't have it set up, but every Thursday I go to my computer, just like I would come to church with an offering envelope in the old days. If you have offering envelopes, use that. We have offering envelopes. And to transfer and say, God, for the glory of Jesus. God, for the glory of Jesus. For the spread of his fame throughout the nations. And thank you for doing that. But that's where we're at. And then finally, we go. And why do we go again? Paul says in Romans 1, through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Did you hear that? We go for his name's sake. He deserves the glory. We go so men and women like Emma that Matt told us about will come to glorify Jesus for his mercy. John Stott writes, we should be jealous for the honor of his name, troubled when it remains unknown, hurt when it is ignored, indignant when it is blasphemed, and all the time determined that it shall be given the honor and glory which are due to it. The highest of all missionary motives is neither obedience to the Great Commission, important as that is, nor love for sinners who are alienated and perishing, strong as that incentive is, especially when we contemplate the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, but rather zeal, burning and passionate zeal for the glory of Jesus Christ. Do you have a passionate and burning zeal for the glory of Jesus? Last year, we reached out in multiple ways. We go to schools, we go to universities, we go out through our missionary teams, we go through playtime and craft and computer classes and all types of ways. Are you in it for this year? We saw God do some remarkable work through our Alpha and discipleship courses last year. And my prayer is that we'll have a larger Alpha course. If God draws people, part of the God drawing people into the Alpha course is people inviting them. I've just booked a men's breakfast of a guy who spent 17 years in prison, in and out of prison. He's now studying at Morling College, almost completed his Bachelor of Theology. He's going to speak at a men's breakfast, how God can take you from prison to freedom through Jesus can transform lives. March 29th, guys. We're going to keep putting on events where you can bring friends who don't know Jesus. Say, come and hear the story of this guy. How can Jesus change even that guy? Believe that God will go. Will you go to the lost? Jesus went to the lost. In John 4, Jesus went to a Samaritan woman at a well in the middle of the day who had five husbands, and the man she was with now was not her husband. And Jesus engaged her in loving conversation, a welcome, an affirmation of her. And she came to Christ and told all of her village about Jesus. In Luke 19, Jesus reached out to a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, that short tax collector who climbs up a tree to see Jesus, but Jesus had already seen him. Jesus already knew him. He said, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus jumps down from the tree, runs home with Jesus following him to his house. At the end of that, Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. Wow, wouldn't you pray that the houses around this area, people would say, salvation's come to that house, and to that house, and to your family's house, to your father, to your mother's house, your brother's house, your uncle's house, your cousin's house. Salvation has come to this house, for Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. And thinking about our gatherings here, Rebecca McLaughlin, who's an author and a writer, says, an alone person in our gatherings is an emergency. Friends can wait. Introduce a newcomer to someone else. Let's all be missionaries at church today. Look around at each other afterwards and say hello. One of the most surprising things is that God does most of the work and we just mop up what God is doing and fix things up and meet people. God, last year, just brought people, non-Christians, to our services. We didn't invite them. God just brought them and spoke to them and said, you need to go to church. You need to go and find some answers to life. And they walked in. I had a fellow visit me this week. Needed some help, but also said, I want to meet some friends. I want to meet some men who are going to help me. I've had a faith, but I don't have much of a faith now. I'm praying that he will come back and see me, that God will keep doing that. We'll see life transformed. Friends, going takes time. It may be years before people open up about spiritual things. It takes food and hospitality. When you eat together, people relax and talk. Going takes prayer. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. Pray. And going takes compassion. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, this is our Savior, he had compassion on them. He had a gut reaction to what he saw in their lostness because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. Friends, we connect, we grow, we serve, and we go. For his name's sake, for his glory, his fame, his honor, his magnification. Can't wait to see what God will do amongst us in 2015. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, your truth. We ask this morning that we would be touched by your Holy Spirit through your word, that you would correct us, lead us, inspire us, give us a new zeal for you and your purposes, maybe to step up in ministry, step up to pray, step up to serve. Lord, do your good work amongst us, that your name would be lifted up and glorified. And we thank you, God, that this is all made possible through the sacrificial death of Jesus that we will remember now as we partake of communion. We commit ourselves to you and for your glory. Amen.